Well, good morning to you all. It's a blessing to be here in your midst. Thank you for those thoughts, Brother Luke. I was inspired and encouraged much by that. And want to greet you in the name of our Lord and God our Father, as he said, the one whose steps we strive to follow. The one whose example we strive to step into in his footprints. I had a brother that has problems with speech as well, so I can understand a little bit some of the struggle. And, you know, speech is a gift, and those of you who have challenges with that, I'm sure that I find it takes a lot of courage sometimes to speak, even when the actual act of speaking isn't a challenge. So I bless you in your courage. And facing that battle, I really was blessed with those thoughts as well. That I think it's just like you said, that as we face the, we all in a warfare. I hope you find yourself engaged this morning in that spiritual warfare. We all have different battles personally in our lives and also collectively as well, that we have an enemy. We all are very aware of that. And when I think of the subject of family, I think of that probably fairly quickly, is the enemy that's against, working against God and his design, especially in family. It seems like if there's one, at least one area that the enemy really endeavors to bring havoc into, it's in the family. And we see that. We see all that damage very much in our society. In our culture, it is a disaster, and so I've been looking forward to this weekend very much, and really glad that we could spend this weekend together. And when we were doing the introductions last evening, my wife and I just mentioned that I think we're in a crowd just a lot like us. Some of the same, things we like, the things we enjoy, and things like the outdoors and homesteading, agriculture, all those things seem to be family-oriented. And it's much, so I'm really looking forward to getting to know all of you a little better this weekend. Also, the subject of family is something personally that I feel that I feel more as a student here this weekend than I do as someone that that has a lot of experience in family, even though of course we've all grown up in families. But I feel especially like this concept of family is something I've been weak in, and the Lord has been teaching me, especially in the last probably 5-6 years. I think it's a thing that I've had a lot of misconceptions about, and probably haven't prioritized family as I should have. And I feel especially like God has been teaching me a lot in that just within the last few years. So request your prayers as I endeavor to take on this topic. And also, again, I think maybe at the end of this session I might open it up for, like to get into some practical aspects of family life. So I'd like to hear from you as well, so you can be thinking a bit about that if we have the time to do that. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 127. I'm sure that's a familiar passage to you all. I think I'm going to read Psalm 127 and 128. Just read those two Psalms. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. When I thought of this topic of keeping family our priority, I think it's a very good topic for us to think about. But just to set a foundation for that, especially verse 1 of both of these chapters here, I think is a bit of a foundation for us. It says here in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And then in verse 1 of chapter 28 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. So when I think of making family priority is remembering that the Lord, first of all, is our first priority. He says, the Lord build the house, and then blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You know, we really can't we really don't have a footing or a foundation for family without the Lord being the head of that. And I think that especially with us as fathers, if the Lord isn't our head, isn't our father, first of all, we really don't have a foundation to build upon. And I think it's so important that we, as moms and dads, have our relationship with him up to date and foremost in our lives. Our devotional lives, our prayer time, our connection to God is of utmost importance if we endeavor to lead a godly home and house. And I think especially with us as fathers, that is so important. If we're not good followers, we also can't be good leaders. We first of all have to be following Christ before we can lead our households well. I had to think of the words of Jesus just to keep things in perspective this morning, how that God and Christ are number one in our lives. And we know that Jesus' teaching even mentions that in a few different places in the Gospels, how that even those who, is it Matthew 10? I might just have to turn to that. Matthew 10, I think it's verse 37. And there's some of the other Gospels stated in different ways as well. But in Matthew 10:37, Jesus says this. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we see here that God is number one. And he is first in our lives. And it's very unfortunate when following Christ costs you your family. But that does happen. That does happen. You think of especially many of our Muslim Christian brothers where that happens. Brothers and sisters that have forsake, they're disowned by their families because of their commitment to Christ. because of the decision for him. So I think it's good to mention that at the onset here, that God is number one. God is first. And he needs to be first and foremost in our hearts, especially us as fathers and mothers, as we endeavor to teach our children our relationship and connection to our Heavenly Father is so, so important. Our devotional lives, especially us as fathers, I feel for you as mothers. It's important for you as well, but I know that sometimes keeping house and I don't think you should feel. I feel mothers sometimes lamenting a bit because they feel like they, the pressures of children and home can at times, they can feel like they're disconnected. And their devotional time suffers. So I feel for you in that regard, and I don't think you should be hard on yourselves, but especially us as fathers. You know, that time with God, alone with God, is something we cannot afford to be slack in. It is so, so important. That connection. We need to be hearing from him on a daily basis. We need to be connected to our Father. And so, family being priority, I think that's so, so important and something I'm still learning. And I've already mentioned, I think we're living to make family priority in the culture and setting we're living is very counterculture. We see all the damage that the evil one has done in family, and we see all the splinters and so many families torn apart and children suffering, and our world out there is really a very broken place, especially when you think of family. And so I think we live in a day and an age where some very intentional things have to be done in our lives, some countercultural things even that the world around us, that you think of things like distractions and selfishness, probably. Those are two that I thought of a lot that describes our culture around us. So distracted with things that really aren't that important. And so distracted with the cares of this life, the things that don't matter, and then family suffers. And, the world has its values reversed oftentimes. And we see that in families. And, then also the thing of selfishness, just, such a self-centered society, such an independent, self-centered society that we live in. And I think it's very good for us to be aware of that and keep that in mind. And I think for us as family units, it's going to take some intentional decisions and to keep family important, because it is so, so important. Our children and our relationships and our communities are really some of the best things in life. There's some of the most important things in life. And when we lose those things, we lost so, so much. And the world doesn't recognize that, they're in pursuit of pleasure and selfishness and and you name it, at the cost of a lot of these so important things. So when we think of some practical things, some ways that we can keep family priority, you know, our children are, and our relationships, they're so important. You know, there's nothing more valuable on this earth than the souls of man. And that includes the children, the prosperity that God has given us. They're so valuable. They're so important. And, you know, Jesus says, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? So we see the value of one soul. The value of one soul is actually greater than that of the whole world. And so I think we need to remember that with our children and our relationships between husband and wife, between parents and children, and further out, you know, our relationships with our neighbors, our church communities. They're so, so important. And they're such a blessing. And it's something that I think this thing of community is something the world around, especially in our culture here, is losing so rapidly here. Community is something that's being lost very rapidly. So recognizing the value of our souls, of our children. And, you know, our children are gifts. And our husbands and our wives are gifts. I think we need to remember that. They're gifts from God. They're God's. We're just His stewards. If you turn back to Psalm 127 and 28, he says there in verse 3 of chapter 27 of Psalm 27, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. So we see that our children are really not even ours. They're God's. And says the fruit of the womb is His reward. And they're His heritage. They're God's. They're the Lord's heritage. And they are such a blessing. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And he says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, the world almost sees a big family as shameful. But here it says just the opposite. He says, he shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. And happy, it's almost like a beatitude. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. And so we see some very different perspectives here than what the world around us is teaching us. And I think, again, the world's motives is a lot of the roots are just selfishness, just living for yourself. You know the sacrifice it takes to raise a family. We know that. But that's a blessing. It teaches us so many. Our children teach us so many things. Just think for a moment what our lives would be like without our children. They're such a blessing. And we need to see them as that. Don't see them as a burden, but a blessing. They're such a gift from God. But they're His. They've been given to us. And we should be raising them for the Lord. Equipping them. Teaching them. And giving them back to God. So some practical ways. And I've heard, like I said, from the introductions last evening, I think a lot of you are doing the same things we are. You know, trying to live our lives make our lifestyles in a way that encourages growth and development in a family setting. And I'm sure a lot of you are doing that. When you think of occupation, you know, I've heard it say once. I think it was a farmer that I asked, you know, you're a farmer, but what do you raise? What are you growing? And he said, well, first and foremost, I'm raising boys. And that stood out to me. boys and girls, you know, that should be the that should be our priority. You know, the cows and the chickens and the pigs or whatever it is that raises a secondary thing. Oftentimes we get that turned around in our minds. I find that I do. Something happens there and you're oftentimes putting more of your energy into that than you are actually into raising your children. It can very easily happen. And so we can soon get those values in reverse in our minds very easily. You know, when it costs us, when we start to feel it in our wallet, we get really, it puts a lot of energy behind our step, right? But so often, you know, if our children are suffering, it takes a little while for us to catch on what's going on. Sometimes we spend more of our energy toward the things that are going to pass away than we do for the things that really matter. Keeping family priority, keeping what's first, what should be first as first in our lives. And I think that takes some intentional decisions on our part. Think of the shortness of time. I've thought of that here. When you think of making family priority, how short of a window we have. A few short years. You know, I think of in a way at times as, well, I've told our school teachers here recently that, you know, I think you're actually spending more hours with our children than what we as parents are during the day. And so I think it's so important, I was just telling them, I think it's so important, you know, the time that you invest, I was just telling them, you know, your character and your influence on our children is so important. And it made me think, you know, our children are spending 24 hours of their time somewhere during their day. They're spending it with somebody. They're learning from somebody or from some gadget. Or they're spending their time somewhere, right? And if you're not the ones teaching and walking along beside them, someone else is. If you're not taking the initiative to teach and train your children, someone else is going to. And I think it's like the scripture teaches us the way that God designed and oriented family is the best way. We as fathers and mothers are the ones that care for our children the most. And so we have the opportunity, we have the grand privilege to be the ones, to be their teachers. At least first and foremost, I have, you know, school and other influences are all very good. I'm not trying to say that. But just remember, if your children aren't in your presence during the day, they're in somebody else's. They're in somebody else's care. They're in somebody else's, and especially you as moms, you know, I think of you. You probably spend, especially when the children are small, the hours of time you spend with your children. That is not for granted. You know, being keepers at home. Again, the world's values, you know, not very high in their value system. But in God's, they are. And so we're just blessed. I think most of us have been blessed with a culture that has put value in some of these things. And we do well to maintain and keep that as God designed it. So we have such a short window of opportunity. And I think, again, some of these things take some intentional decisions on our behalf. Can we work alongside our sons and our daughters? Can we just live life with them? Can we work, play, eat together? Those are some things that are very practical and very important. The everyday things of life. It's just precept upon precept, line upon line. It's usually the development and growth of character and integrity in our children doesn't all of a sudden just get poured upon them. It's the day by day. It's the line by line. It's the precept by precept. It's the walking alongside. You know, I think of the model Jesus had with his disciples. Discipleship model. We as fathers and mothers need to incorporate that into our homes. Jesus lived and slept and walked and moved with that family of 12 for 3.5 years. It was taught by example. Those disciples, those 12 apostles, they learned how to walk in his footprints, like our brother shared this morning. In his foot, he modeled. More is caught than is taught. But if we're absent, and you know, thinking of the age and the culture we live in, with especially the thing of fatherlessness is so prevalent. Absent fathers. Let's be present. And sometimes we can be present and yet absent. Let's engage ourselves in the lives of our families. Think of the relationship between husband and wife. And that's so important, first of all. You know, we talked already about how important it is to have our connection with God. But then us as husband and wives being together and unified is also so very important to have a healthy family. If our relationship between the two of us is strained, then that also reaches down to the rest of the family. And so, let's keep that relationship clear. And you see the effects also. There's a certain protection that comes with a healthy family. A healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, first of all. And then, well, first of all, a healthy relationship between God and the parents, and then a healthy marriage, and then reaching down to the children. There's a certain spiritual protection that goes along with that. We see that also on the other hand as well. When mom and dad aren't what they should be, we see that protection, that spiritual protection is lost, or at least it's at least compromised. And we see that affects the children in a very real way. I've seen that very much. Especially when dad isn't what he should be. The rest of the family suffers tremendously. So we're concerned about the growth and the development of our children. They're going to grow and develop. It's like, are we making the most of the window that God gives us in every stage of their lives as they grow and as they develop? And then we talked about protection. There's also security. You know, there's a lot of protection and security that comes with a healthy relationship and a healthy marriage. And you see the opposite also. When you see the children's needs aren't being met, when those needs aren't met, then you have things like insecurity. And you have things, you know, it's very basic. You know, if a child has, we know all of us, especially the children, they all have needs. They have spiritual, they have emotional, they have physical needs. And we need it. We as parents are the ones to meet those needs. And if those needs aren't met, then insecurity is what happens instead of security. If the needs of our children aren't met. And so I feel like I said, I feel like a student here. I have some regrets when I look back especially my early, the first 10 years or so of our marriage. You know, like I said, I think this thing of family is something I've I've really think God has been teaching me a lot in. And you know, family is our first obligation when it comes to relationship and accountability to God for those around us. You know, we're all gonna give an account to God someday for how we related to the people around us. But our children and our families are gonna be first on that list. And so they should not be neglected, especially maybe us as dads and fathers. We have lots of other responsibilities and obligations. But don't let your family suffer because of those. Remember that your children and your family's needs are first, even before church. They are first because, you know, even the qualifications of a minister or pastor says if he doesn't know how to rule, if he doesn't even take care of his own family, he's not qualified. And so that just tells us that the needs of our family are first. And oftentimes I find, you know, we need to be careful because we can neglect soon, let those other obligations, and our family begins to suffer because of that. But God does fill in the gaps. Praise his name for that. I feel that sometimes, and I'm sure we all do, is when, you know, when there's meetings and there's things away from home, and there's times that you need to study, and there's times to you have to get away at times, right? But God feels, I've found that God is so faithful. And he picks up the empty places for us. He walks behind us and fills in the gaps. He knows. He was a man. He knows. He knows we can't be two places at once. He knows the pressures of time. And he can pick up those and fill in those gaps for us. And I can say he's done that for us many times. And I bless his name for that. We have a few minutes here. What are some practical ways that you can make some intentional decisions to keep family priority? I'd like to hear from you. I guess for me, one thing I've had to, one way I think is just, especially with work-related things, you know, let the paycheck suffer a little oftener. And, you know, this whole thing of spending time at home, spending time with your family is actually more important than having a big juicy paycheck every week or two, a lot more important. And so I've made some intentional decisions just to cut back on some work time. And that's just one way. But I think that's a very important one, especially in the culture we live, you know, the lifestyles that we lead. The thing of simplicity and modesty and lifestyle is there's so much value there. And, you know, we don't have to have all the latest. And, you know, somebody mentioned last evening about home is a happy place. It's a place of refuge. It's a safe place. And we enjoy being at home.